Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. And folks, I got to tell you, what I want to do today is I just want to have a conversation. They say that the best book in the minister's library is always his experience, and he can't give what he doesn't have. You know, freely you have received, freely give. And we understand it's more profitable to give than it is to receive. And I've just been thinking a lot over the last couple of days about some of the things that people may have when it comes to questions concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand, first and foremost, that I went through it every step of the way in understanding every step of the way as to what I am sharing. And I've been tried every step of the way. A preacher can't preach what he preaches, friends, without being tried by his own words. And usually what will happen is he'll spin out or he'll endure the flame. And when I say that, people need to understand that those that bring the fire, Hebrews 1:7, they must endure the flame. Okay? And most of the people don't understand that because they've got a modern version of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It's a law. Gospel. It was George Whitefield that said many people need to be converted again, and he called them mushroom converts. And he said, why? When asked, he explained. He said, because they've never been converted. And you can always tell what sort of fruit that they bear as if they're saved or if they're not saved. As a matter of fact, even saying that, people, a lot of people that are professed Christians don't even know. They know how to say they've been saved. They don't know how to say that they're saved from their sins. They don't want to hit that topic because then that entails that they repent before that. That's an understanding of the law that brings us a knowledge of sin, Romans 3:20. You can also put up the definition of sin as 1 John 3:4. And you're going to have to track with me today, friends, because I'm going to hold to the Word like I always hold to the Word. And if you can't do that and you don't understand, then you know what? You're just going to have to watch it over and over again. And the best thing for you to do is actually search the Scriptures to know for yourself, like I did. Now, for those that don't know, I came out of the rock and roll world. I mean, I was touring the country, doing everything I shouldn't have been doing. And in the process of doing that, what nobody knew was I was the one that was back in my room crying out to God. The Lord is already rotting repentance in me without even knowing what sin was. And I was praying for the heart of David. I wanted to know the Lord. And why is that? I can tell you why that is. Because he's the author of my faith. And if he's also the author, the Bible says that he's going to be a finisher of my faith. See, what I'm doing today, no man talked me into it. Therefore, no man can talk me out of it. And we see too much of that going on today, too. But when I first got saved, friends, I was praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to know who you are. Because I've seen people all across the country, speaking of which, that profess themselves to be Christians. I seen on cable television during that particular time at the end of the 90s going into the 2000s that there was a lot of channels premised on the gospel, and what I seen over and over and over again was God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And with that, friends, I also noticed that there was modern gospel taking place, which was actually in stark contrast to the scriptures in so many different ways. And I'll give you an example in just a moment. Put that up against Galatians 1:8 when you get a moment. It was a different gospel. It was an accursed gospel. Matter of fact, the best way to say it is this. Look to the Church of America today. They're called to be the moral compass of society. When that goes, everything else goes. And it's interesting, when I first got saved, friends, where the Lord wrought in me salvation, He brought repentance. He laid the cross on me. He showed me crucifixion. He showed me baptism. And then He showed me the newness of the life by a work of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3. And I'm also Titus 3:5. And I'm also thinking of Romans 6:1. He's the one that taught me that. And that's why I always seek the Spirit of God, not the arm of the flesh, because the arm of the flesh always brings a curse. Now, I'm gathering my thoughts right now because I have nothing in front of me right now except my heart. And that's what I want to share with the people. So when I first got saved, friends, I wasn't talked into it. I was the one that was in the room crying out to the Lord, telling Him and asking Him to show me who He was. I didn't initiate that. He initiated that. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and that's exactly what He did here. He just picked up a kid out of the world. The greatest miracle that God can perform is take an unholy man out of an unholy situation, clean him up, and then put him back into that unholy situation. And boy, oh boy, did I not understand the school of hard knocks I was about ready to go through. I thought I was coming out of the world into a perfect setting, only to find out that that's when I went into that perfect setting, the Lord started to show me what was wrong with that as well. And I'm moving into that even now. When I first got into the church, folks, again, I thought I was going into a perfect world. And once I got into the church, I started noticing that what the preacher of the day, he was very prophetic. What he would preach was a prosperity gospel. And it wasn't what I needed. It wasn't what was filling me. And again, it wasn't what I was hungering and thirsting for in any sense of the word. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and this guy's sitting there preaching prosperity. And then when I started to look through Scripture, I could see that the Bible clearly says that even those that preach gain is godliness, the Bible says you're supposed to withdraw yourself from them. And that's all I heard. I'd hear 45 minutes of begging for money, a 20-minute sermon, and then that would be the end of the day. That's not what I needed, but that's where I was supposed to be. And the reason I was supposed to be there is because during the day I would go out and work. I had my own lawn service. When I got home, I was always looking forward to getting home so I could search the scriptures for myself to understand 2 Timothy 2:15 so I could understand for myself as to what the word said. And I noticed that what I was reading, and then when I'd go to a church on Wednesday or Sunday, I noticed what they were preaching was in stark contrast to the word of God. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. Man, I'm wanting this perfect life, this peaceful life that I was told about, and yet I'm just getting just the exact opposite. It got to the point where I started reading the Word, and then I'd go in, and then I would talk to the pastor, as they call themselves, and I'd ask them the question, so why is it that you're preaching this, but yet this is what Scripture says? And you know what I heard, friends? Verbatim. This is exactly what came out of his mouth, was this. We don't do things like that anymore. Wait a second. The Scripture tells us that the Lord didn't change. So why are we changing His message? The doctrine is for the church to change, not the church to change the doctrine. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Hello friends, this is Bradley Dean here at the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, here to introduce you to our new friends at Herbonomic. Have you been searching for all natural health products you can depend upon? Herbonomic's special menu has all natural health products that you can trust. Our friends at Herbonomic have done their research and to ensure that they only source the highest quality products that they serve to their customer base. Visit us at H-E-R-B-A-N-O-M-I-C.com.
This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. We are welcoming Bradley Dean to the Brighteon radio platform because Bradley Dean is on the front lines, speaking truth of power, defending your liberties and your constitutional rights. Bradley's voice is critical for our world in this dangerous era when tyrants and perverts are trying to steal away our children, our culture, and our future. It's people like Bradley Dean who are standing against the tyranny and holding the ground for Christians and patriots. Catch his show at BrighteonRadio.com.
Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty are fighting the good fight of faith to make sure that freedom is preserved for our posterity for generations to come. Through our radio program, SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, and our media website, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, we are reaching the masses both nationally and internationally with the message of the gospel and the truth of our biblical and constitutional heritage. At SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, you will find out how to book Bradley Dean to speak at an event near you, how you can support us in reaching America with this uncompromising message, and how to become a son or daughter of liberty, where you can financially support the work of the Sons of Liberty on a monthly basis and join with us in this fight to restore our nation. Check out SonsOfLibertyMedia.com as well, which has all the important news and information going on in the world today. There you will find the black and white truth without all the lies you'll see in the mainstream media. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com and SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, informative, easy to use, and a little fun too. Two sites that will change your life. Visit them today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 1-866-582-9933. By the way, if you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do. They are going to stay friendly, I can assure you of that. 1-866-582-9933. And again, if you want to go to social media platforms, sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of the page, and or beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com, top left side of the page as well. Now, I want you to check this out, because again, we're talking about how when I first got saved and I went into the church, it wasn't at all what I expected. It was just exactly the opposite. I thought I was going to enter into a perfect life, and then once I got into the Church of America, I noticed that's where all the snakes were. Just like Jesus when he went in. By the way, he called them vipers, okay? So it's not name calling, it's scriptural. But it's interesting that when Jesus went into the temples or he went into the synagogues, he found out the same thing. And that's why he spent his time rebuking many of them and reproving many of them and even going so far as to woeing them. Now, of course, that's a thing out of sight and out of mind in the American church today. And, you know, Scripture tells us in the New Testament that those that sin, you're supposed to call them out before others that others also may fear. But again, of course, if you do that today, friends, you're going to have a lawsuit on your hands because someone loves you enough to actually tell you the truth. That's how backwards things have become in this country, and it's shameful conduct, to say the least. Now, I'm also bringing this up, friends, because when you look at Scripture, again, I just want you to see this. When I walked up to a pastor, I'd asked him the question. I said, I'm at home doing my studies, and I said, as I'm studying the Word, I come here, and then I hear you saying something completely opposite from the pulpit as to what Scripture says. And then I made reference to the Scripture that I was talking about, and guess what he said to me? He said, we don't do things like that anymore. Are you following me? So I think many people out there right now need to understand that I came up through much of the deception that was going on in the American church in a big way today. And the more time I spent in the Church of America, the more I understood what Jesus meant when he said, beware of the leaven, the wicked doctrines of the Pharisees, the church of the day. He said, beware of it, Mark 8:15. Okay? And why did he say beware of it? Because, as this pastor said to me, he said, we don't do things like that anymore. Well, if you look at Malachi 3:6, and that's exactly what I was doing, friends, is I was going back to Scripture, and I always knew when I went to Scripture it was a safe place to be. The engrafted word which is able to save our souls is always what I held on to. Because I would receive the end of my faith, even the salvation of my soul, by holding to the Word of God. But what does Malachi 3:6 say? Does it say we don't do things like that anymore? The way that we hear that from hirelings in the pulpit today, John 10:12? Malachi 3:6 tells us plainly, friends, in the King James Version, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. And then he said to his children, namely Jacob, that's what he called them, therefore you sons of Jacob, you're not consumed because you're holding to the God that doesn't change. Right? Look at how many people have drifted away from the Lord today because they haven't taken the time to understand what Scripture says in telling us not to be given to those that are to be given to change. We're supposed to hold to the immutable Word of God. The Lord doesn't change. Let me go over to the New Testament. Someone is saying right now, you know, Bradley, that's the Old Testament. Hey, folks, you don't understand the New Testament until you understand the Old Testament. It's like watching a two-part movie. You can't understand part two until you first understand part one. That is the character of God, and Jesus fulfilled it in the New Testament. Okay? Get out of that common talk as well. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of garbage. Okay? We're supposed to know the whole doctrine, not part. John 7:17. Read it when you get a moment. Jesus Christ said this. He said, the same yesterday and today and forever. But what do we hear from the pulpits? We don't do things like that anymore. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I'm in the church. I'm a baby Christian. I'm hearing this from the pulpits. But yet when I read the Word says this. And now the Lord is saying, wait a second, I didn't change. Then when I look at the church and look at the present condition of the church, I understand why it's in trouble. They've departed from the living God, and they made a gospel that looks just like them. And the second commandment in Exodus 20 tells us not to do that. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image. Well, one lady just said, as I'm speaking now on social media platforms, when I used to go to church, Bradley, she said, it used to be the Ten Commandments. That's right. That's exactly right. And that should explain to everybody why you're listening to man's 10,000 today. Because we have forgotten God's 10. It's a covenant that we're supposed to fulfill as Christ fulfills it through us, right? And we're to obey that form of doctrine that's been given unto us, Romans 6. The Lord is not going to obey for you, friends. Out of gratitude, when you look at what Jesus did for you on that cross, that's why you obey. You see what the Father did through the Son on my behalf to redeem me back unto Himself. That's why we obey. Out of love for the sacrifice, which is the mother of all holiness. Hold the Scripture, friends. Hold the Scripture. Back to something somebody just said, Bradley, when I went to church, it used to be the Ten Commandments. Somebody said, well, Bradley, we're not under the law. Nobody said that we were under the law. But it's still the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, right? Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law is the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Jesus never abrogated it. He came to explain it. And if it was abrogated, then why did Jesus need to explain it? Because he never abrogated it. He fulfilled it, Matthew 5:17. He fulfilled it. My wife's grandma, 98 years young, she was hoping to make it to 100 years old. And she had hoped to get to 100 years old because she wanted to get a letter from the president. Once you make it 100 years on this planet, you get a letter from the president. Well, she died 2 years prior to that. And I remember talking to her, quick as a whip, sharp as a whip. I could talk to her about anything from all the way from 1914 to the present. And she could clearly answer everything I was asking her. And of course, she would say it was just like yesterday. Is this the America that you grew up in? And not at all. The first thing she'd make reference to was the Lord. and the way that the church used to preach, how the church used to preach the law and the prophets. Now that's a thing of the past. The modern day church says, no, it's not at all. Not at all in any sense of the word. That's why America's in trouble. Because they began to listen to man rather than to Jesus Christ and hold to his word that is unchangeable, immutable. One day I'd asked Grandma, I said, I'm curious, what was it that you used to hear from the pulpits in America? She said, oh, all the way up until 1962, thereabouts. She said it was always the law and the prophets. It was always the law and the prophets. Can you imagine a society in the natural, 1 Corinthians 2:14? Can you imagine a society that didn't have police? Can you imagine a society that didn't have law to make distinction between right and wrong? Can you imagine what that society would become? Well, that's the society that the professors in the church pulpits across America actually decided that they would just go along with. And then they wonder why they see the crop of anarchists in the world. Well, how could it be otherwise when you have a bunch of antinomianists in the pulpit who have no regard for God's moral law? And what happens in natural law, friends, if you break that law? You go to jail. You go to jail. Right? And where do you go? To a penitentiary. If the crime is severe enough, notice the word penitence, right? What are the sacrifices of God? A broken and a contrite heart. O Lord, thou will not despise. Psalm 51, verse 17. Isaiah 62, verse 2. Psalm 34, 18. Not in that order. Contrition. And that's what the law does when we acknowledge our sin, that we have violated God's moral law and we've broken his law into 1,000 pieces. Acts 20, verse 21. And what does it produce? It produces repentance. Folks, where there is no law, there is no transgression. And that's what they've raised up in this country today. The very law that Christ came to fulfill, Isaiah 42, 21, Psalm 40, verse 7, going to the New Testament, Hebrews 8, 10, and 10, 7 in the book of Hebrews. The very law that he came to magnify is the very law that they've done away with. Well, it tells us in Romans 4:15, is if there is no law, there's no transgression. Guess what? That's why everybody thinks they're saved. That's why everybody thinks they're saved, because the pastor told them so. And guess what? It's not the pastor to tell you if you're saved or if you're not saved. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit that bears witness, not a man. But going back to Grandma, what was it that you were taught in the church? Oh, my whole life. She said it was always the law and the prophets. She said when she grew up, she said it was always the Ten Commandments of God. Isn't that crazy? I'm going to come right back with a short piece on that from Charles Spurgeon, scene and speaking of the war between mankind and God's moral law. We'll be right back. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. What does President Biden need to tell the American people in the State of the Union address?
He needs to draw a contrast, and I expect he will, between his agenda, give him more time, I'm still working at it, guys, and the chaos people see on the other side.
Former Biden Press Secretary Jen Psaki. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says there's a lot of anxiety around the USA these days.
They're worried about the fuel. They're worried about their jobs as they go. They see inflation time after again. And then when you look at the latest polling, they're worried about their government.
NBC reports President Biden will travel to Poland later this month on near the one-year anniversary of the war in Ukraine. The death toll in Turkey and Syria has topped 7,000 after yesterday's huge earthquake. More than 4 million people now relying on humanitarian aid. The company that defined the COVID lockdown era is shedding jobs. Zoom says it will lay off 1,300 employees. Rich Johnson, USA News.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
It's interesting when you look at Isaiah 8:20. It tells us if they speak not according to the law and to the testimony, it's because there's no light in them. And how many times did the Lord use the law as the schoolmaster to bring men unto Christ? The law to tax, Romans 3:20. Grace conquers, Romans 8:37. The law to tax, grace conquers. I'm not going here, but I'm dropping these so you get a line upon line precept. Understanding of this little exposition I'm doing, and we're just talking right now. Okay, we're just having a conversation, and I'm just sharing with the people my experience as to how when I first got into the church, the warfare that I had to go through, it wasn't you're out of school, it's the Lord threw me into school. It wasn't, now I'm out of the school of hard knocks, which was all self-inflicted as I was a sinner, saved by grace. And when I came into the church, it was a school of hard knocks and understanding what we needed to do in righting the wrongs. I want to be a part of the answer, not a part of the problem. Okay? And I also want to get people out of this little emotional realm that you're in. Where it's about you, everything's about you, and it's about your feelings. Listen, when you came to Christ, all of that died. All of it died. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in by the faith of the Son of God. Grace is in operation. It works for dead men, people that have repented before God. It's not about your will. It's about His will. Ephesians 2, read verse 1. Go to Romans 6, read verse 1 in the whole chapter. You'll understand exactly what I was talking about. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its lusts Christ, and its affection, Scripture tells us. Okay, so let's get away from all of that, and let's get to the nitty-gritty. Let's get to the meat. Let's get away from the milk for a moment, okay? I want to pull you out of where you're at, but you're going to have to make the choice in doing so, because I can't do it for you. Deuteronomy 30:19. Somebody just said to me, because I'm talking about, look what happens when the church lowers the law. And it's interesting that we see the crop of those antinomianists. And an antinomianist is one that has no regard for God's moral law. And that's what we see in the pulpits today. So it should come as no surprise when you see a bunch of men that think they're women sitting in the pulpits today preaching a different gospel than we even heard 20 years ago in this country. It's not getting better, friends. It's getting worse. But if we get back to the Lord's playbook, His Word, things will get straightened out that way. But rest assured, there's going to be a heavy warfare in the process of doing so. And the Bible's clear about that. Even those that desire to live a godly life will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. But I wanted to say before I make this next point that somebody, one of my friends online just said, you know, I was always told, by those that were in the backwoods, it was always hellfire preaching. Well, I'm here to tell you that hellfire preaching is unscriptural. We don't repent before God because we might end up in hell. Hell is the place where men suffer the consequence of going on in their sin because they fail to repent before a just and a holy God. Well, show me Scripture. Okay, I'll do that. I like to do that. That's what I do here. When you read Luke 12:4, and I say unto you, this is Jesus, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Did Jesus say, fear hell? Or did Jesus say in Luke 12:5, fear Him? Fear Him, which after He hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. That's secondary. Okay? Hell is the consequence of people that fail to repent for breaking God's moral law. Period. That's what brings about godly repentance. Okay? So let's get back to the next point. So you lower the law, you dim the light by which man perceives his guilt. And it's a very serious loss to the sinner rather than a gain, for it lessens the likelihood of his conviction and conversion. The only thing I heard when I first got into the church is God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And when I was spending time in Scripture, I'm looking at straight and narrow and difficult is the way. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness. I'm noticing the 11 of the 12 of the disciples were all martyred. And I'm thinking about the trials and the tribulations to enter into the kingdom of heaven, Acts 14:22. And then I think about what Jesus said to me. Wait a second. Deny yourself, take up your cross. And it was that Jesus that showed the wounds in His hands after His resurrection, the Passion of the Christ, in John 20. And He showed His disciples the holes in His feet. And He said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Oh, wait a second. When the Spirit leads us, where does He lead us? He always leads us, guess where? Where we don't want to go. You know, it's funny that I'm thinking of Martin Luther even now. And Martin Luther said this. I want you to hear this because it's important that you do hear this. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said this. He said, I am rough. I am boisterous. I am stormy and altogether warlike. I am born to fight against the innumerable monsters and devils. I must remove stumps and stones, cut away the thistles and thorns, and clear the wild forests. Martin said that he desired to live in repose, but he said that he was constantly pushed and taken into the battle, into the war. Isn't that what the Lord said to Peter in John 21? It's exactly what He said in so many different words. Folks, God does not guide me, said Martin Luther. He said, God does not guide me. He pushes me. This is Martin Luther. He carries me away. I'm not the master of myself. I desire to live in repose, he said, but I am thrown into the midst of tumults and revolutions. Oh, my goodness gracious. See, now we're taught in the American church, listen to me carefully, friends, and I say this in all sincerity, you're taught that now when you go through these trials and tribulations, it's the devil. Whoa. That doesn't line up with Scripture, not every time anyways. There is a time where the enemy tries to stop your forward movement. But those trials and tribulation, what do? My grace is sufficient for thee when? When I'm weakest, who's strongest? Oh my goodness! This is after Paul told us in 2 Corinthians all the things that he went through preaching the gospel. Okay. This is a different gospel we're hearing from people today. Absolutely it is. If Jesus was on the scene today, preaching the way that most self-proclaimed hirelings preach from the pulpits today, he would have never been crucified in a million years. See, the pulpits are preaching to love one another. So when I preach the Word of God, guess what? You better love me back. Wait a second. Jesus told us that this is my commandment, that you love one another. And if the world hates you, it hated me before it hated you. Oh my goodness. That's a different gospel. Absolutely it is. But that is the understanding of the power of God unto salvation. Friends, listen to me carefully. And I know I'm speaking at you prophetically, some of you people. It's not about you. It's about the Lord using you for His glory. About picking you up, showing you who you're not, to show you who He is, and send you out as an ambassador. Then sending you out whithersoever you don't want to go, the way that Jesus told Peter. When you're young, you went where you wanted to go, but when you're old, another will take you and take you whithersoever you do not want to go. That's how the Spirit leads, Romans 8:14. Why? Because it's the will of the Spirit, not the will of the flesh. Make distinction. When you're born of the Spirit, you're going to do the things of the Spirit. When you're born of the flesh, you're going to try to hold on to the flesh. Many people today think they're saved when they're not saved. Why? Because the Holy Ghost never wrought their salvation. They're not born again of the Spirit of God. They're still in the flesh. They've got a carnal understanding of the Word of God, and they think that they're going to heaven because their pastor, who has no business telling them so, told them that they're saved. I want you to listen to this. Just having a conversation. 1-866-582-9933. A lot of people think that Christianity is doing all the righteous things you hate and avoiding all the wicked things you love in order to go to heaven. Is that right? How many people understand what I just said? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I love sin. I love this, that, and the other thing. But wait a second. A lot of people think that Christianity is you doing all the righteous things you hate and avoiding all the wicked things you love in order to go to heaven. No, that's a man without Christ. That's a man without Christ. A Christian is a person whose heart has been changed. They have new affections. And guess what their affections are set towards? The cross. Andrew in the Book of Martyrs, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, preached the cross of Jesus Christ. We preach Christ crucified. Dead to self, alive to the Lord. Romans 6. Andrew used to preach Christ crucified. Listen to me, folks. And so are we. That's the pearl of the church. It's the heart of the gospel. The redemptive Christ. But we have to go to the cross because that's where the Holy Ghost hovers. Andrew used to preach Christ crucified continuously. And then it was time for him to go to the cross. What did Andrew do? Did he shun the cross or did he embrace the cross? Andrew embraced the cross. Matter of fact, before he was crucified, you know what he did? He kissed the cross. What brings us to the cross? The law of God. And showing us our offenses towards the Christ. Lower the law, you dim the light by which man perceives his guilt. This is a very serious loss to the sinner rather than a gain. For it lessens the likelihood of his conviction and conversion, which the Holy Ghost uses, John 16, starting in verse 8. He said, I say that you have deprived the gospel of its ablest auxiliary, its most important weapon, when you have set aside the law. You have taken away from it the schoolmaster that is to bring men to Christ. They will never accept grace till they tremble before a just and a holy law. Therefore, the law serves as a most necessary purpose, and it must not be removed from its place. Isn't that what Scripture teaches us? Oh, yeah. Mark 10, starting starting in verse 17. Read John 8. The Lord continuously used the law to drive men from self-righteousness. We'll be right back. 1-866-582-9933.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Rachel from Michigan. I know God orchestrated my encounter with Bradley Dean this past summer. His radio show instantly became my family's favorite. We are so thankful for his bold message bringing light to the issues we are facing. If you want the truth from a biblical and constitutional perspective, then you come to the right place.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
One more segment. I want to hit a couple more points. We're just having a conversation today, but I want people to understand where we came from and how we're walking forward. The Lord didn't show us everything right. What he did is he showed us everything wrong so that he would empower us by the Holy Ghost to right the wrongs. Okay? And we're just talking about a society today that has lowered the moral law of God as a schoolmaster to bring men unto Christ. And I could give you statistics all day long as to how things are going bad, but you already know that. That's the church's fault. Okay? That's the church's fault. The church is called to be the light of the world. It's supposed to reprove darkness, Ephesians 5:11. That's a thing of the past, for the most part. And that's professors. That's not the real deal Christians. As I always say, friends, nobody rebuked the religious hypocrites more than Christ himself did. And that's exactly what's happening in this country today. They have left off the Word of God. They've left off reproof, correction, instructions, and righteousness. Why? Because they've left off the doctrine that was inspired by God, 2 Timothy 3:16. They've taken on another gospel. They began to follow man and take his word for it rather than the word of God that was inspired by the Holy Ghost. Insanity, but that's where we're at. Listen to what Spurgeon said, and I'm going to make a couple more points here. There's a war between you and God's law. There is. The Ten Commandments are against you. The first comes forward and says, "Let him be cursed, for he denies me. He has another God besides me." His God is his belly, and he yields his homage to his lust. All the Ten Commandments, like the ten great canons, are pointed at you today. For you have all broken God's statutes and lived daily in neglect of all of his commands. He said, so you will find it a hard thing to go on in war with the law. When the law came in peace, Sinai was altogether on smoke, and even Moses said, I exceeding fear and quake. Exodus 20. Spurgeon asked the question to all of us, what will you do when the law of God comes in terror, when the trumpet of the archangel tears you from your grave, when the eyes of God shall burn their way into your guilty soul, when their great book shall be opened, and all of your sin and shame shall be justly punished? Can you stand against an angry law in that day? Nope. You know, it's been said by some famous preacher that, listen, the only thing sparing you from the wrath of God is being found in Christ. That's right. Which is altogether, friends, the heart of God. And that applies to those that refuse his love, that wrath of God. The wrath of God abides upon the children of disobedience, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And do you know, friends, that in Scripture it tells us that we, knowing the terror of the Lord, persuade men? When's the last time you heard that from the pulpits? And I would also caution you, and why this is coming in, I know not. But there's other people out there that profess to be Christians that are show hosts. I'm here to tell you, they're giving you enough of what you think validates what a Christian is about. They'll use the word God. They'll say Jesus. But you listen out the other side of their mouth and they're saying it's completely contrary and in contrast to what Christ commanded them to do and to say. Just because they're exposing darkness doesn't make them a Christian, friends. A lot of times people do it for their own gain. They want you to believe that they're righteous. I mean, look at them, these conservative talking heads today. Oh, you're a great American. God bless you. And then with the American people, they say, oh, he's a Christian. Oh, my goodness. No, you judge them by their fruit, John 15:8. And if it's not glorifying Christ, then who is it glorifying? Okay? Who's it glorifying? Just talking about the experience that I had when I first got into the church. And understanding exactly what I'm up against, the heretical nonsense that I've seen from the top of the church in this country to the very bottom. It's heretical, to say the least. Scripture tells us that. And it's very clear that Scripture tells us that. When you go to Ephesians 4:11, I want you all to understand different calls. Because, again, this is important that people understand this. There's different calls in the body of Christ. And it's interesting that when you look at Ephesians 4:11, I want to read this in context for you. He gave some apostles. Apostle is one that is sent. And some prophets, he's the one that points the finger. And some evangelists, he goes out and he gathers the lost. And some pastors and teachers. Now for what? Well, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says first the apostle, then the prophet, then the teacher. That's the order. Look at how backwards it is today in the American church. But if you go back to Ephesians 4:11, it tells us in verse 12 for what? This is what nominal, lukewarm, unsaved people hate. Remember Jesus said, either you're hot or you're cold. If you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Okay? Listen to what it says. For the perfecting of the saints. What's the purpose of the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, pastor, and teachers? I'm sorry. For the perfecting of the saints. For, listen, this is something else they don't like to hear either. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Not sowing division. Not being froward. Not trying to divide unjustly. See, it's truth that divides. Jesus said he brought a sword, right? Matthew 10:34. He didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring division. But he is the light that separates those that claim to be something that they are not and those that are who they really are. And I'm talking about those that serve the enemy, and yet they think they're going to heaven. I'm here to tell you, folks, there's so many people today that think that. Remember when we had Ray Comfort on the program? And I gave a quote from D. James Kennedy, for those that were there. If not, I'm telling you about it. And D. James Kennedy said that after 40 years in ministry, he goes, I have observed that a majority of those that are in the pulpits are not saved. They're not going to heaven. And that's the first thing I brought up to Ray Comfort, and Ray Comfort just ran with it. He's a street preacher out in California. He experiences it all day long. And it's, what's even worse is how many people you talk to that claim to be Christians, and yet when you try to have a conversation, the Bible says that the gospel, let your conversation become it the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can, Philippians 1:27, you can't even have a scriptural conversation with them. But it's interesting what they do know, their favorite sports heroes, their favorite movies, all the gossip going on through the tabloids. It shows you where their mind is. And no wonder why they have no peace. The Bible says, for the wicked, there is no peace. And it says to the righteous, great is the peace of those whose minds are stayed on Him. Do you see what I'm doing here, folks? I'm always holding to the Word. Always holding to the Word. I remember one guy got so mad at me, he called a meeting with the pastor as a baby Christian. And he literally sat at the other side of the table. He was supposed to be my friend. I was 6 months old in the Lord. He calls a meeting with the pastor and he says, everything that comes out of Bradley's mouth, he's always giving me scripture. And the pastor rightly rebuked him. With a red face, he said, that's what he's supposed to be doing. That's what he's supposed to be doing. How come we can't even have, as Christians, how come it's never scripture coming out of your mouths? That's all that should be in our heart. For His Word is written in our heart. We're written epistles for all men to read. Now, I got to end this. Understand callings, friends. Not everybody's an apostle. Not everybody's a prophet. Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's a pastor. Not everybody's an evangelist. And then there's other gifts, which I don't have time to cover. I want you again to listen to Martin Luther talking about Philip Melanchthon in contrast to who he is. Martin Luther was very much an apostolic prophet. Philip Melanchthon was very much a teacher. Listen carefully. I prefer the books of Magister Philippus to my own, he said. He said, again, I'm rough, boisterous, stormy, and altogether warlike. He said, I'm born to fight against innumerable monsters and devils. He said, I must remove stumps and stones and cut away thistles and thorns and clear the wild forest. But Magister Philip, he said, speaking of Melanchthon, comes along softly and gently, sowing and watering with joy according to the gifts which God has abundantly bestowed upon him. Hey, folks, I don't care if you're an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, a pastor. We should all be pointing our finger to the same Christ. And everything that we do as a body should all be going the same direction, that Christ might be glorified. Now, I know that there's a lot of grown-ups out there that still act like they're 15 years old. And they're nothing but a bunch of gossips doing their best to play in the hands of the devil. That's only using them until they're judged. Because, you see, it's a righteous thing with the Lord to recompense tribulation. Keep going on with your bad self. What these people are doing is dangerous to themselves, not to me, not to anybody else. But when the Lord said, touch not mine anointed, guess what he meant? Just that. Understand giftings, friends. And I'm not talking innuendo. I'm pointing my finger and doing my job. I'm trying to do my best to lay out my heart every day so people can understand what it is that we went through. Because as I started the show off today, the best book in the preacher's library is always his experience. I cannot give you anything outside of my experience. And as I said, and I end with, those that bring the fire must endure the flame. We're going forward. Love you by what we do.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.